If you're currently in a relationship and you feel that the spark has gone, do you sometimes wonder if this really is the right person? Or if you're out dating and when the spark does go, do you finish those relationships because you think you haven't met the right person yet and ending up having string after string of different relationships? If so, today we're talking about growth and fixed mindsets, and how this understanding can help you develop a more fulfilling relationship. And if you'd like to find out more about how to find and create fulfilling relationships, head over to our website, therelationshipmaze.com. Make sure you press subscribe right now so you can hear every episode of this podcast. And if you'd like extra notes on the podcast, head over to therelationshipmazepodcast.com. Welcome to today's podcast, and today we're talking about how understanding growth or fixed mindsets can help you have a new understanding in your relationships, particularly if you've been in a relationship and you find that sometimes, you know, at the beginning of a relationship, how you have that buzz, that spark, and everything can seem so great, and suddenly that seems to change. And a lot of people start to wonder, you know, should you stay in that relationship? And then, I don't know, my experience now is that more and more people seem to get to that point and think, well, maybe this isn't the right relationship, so end up going into another one.
It's very common, isn't it? This idea, and this worry, actually, this anxiety that a lot of people have around asking themselves, is this the right partner? I don't feel quite as in love anymore with my partner as I did initially. And maybe is this not, I'm not thrilled enough, I'm not excited enough by this person. And they just assume that there's something lacking and that the relationship cannot be the right relationship, because there's this expectation of butterflies in the stomach all of the time, etc. Which may well be true, and in a lot of relationships that's there at the beginning of the relationship. We talked about this in a previous podcast about relationship stages, the sort of early stages where this is often experienced as sort of initial stage of excitement in the honeymoon. What we're going to look at today is this notion that that love, or the way that we experience love, is constant, it's always the same, and is instant, so to speak. So either you are in love, either the love is there, or it's not there, and then therefore it's not the right partner.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about how, well, growth and fixed mindsets kind of tie into that. But before we do that as well, I think from what you were just saying, for me, it really brings up that idea of those Hollywood movies and novels where, you know, we constantly are kind of bombarded by all this media that says, you know, you need to have this amazing relationship all the time where you're constantly excited, constantly, you know, just jumping into the broom cupboard together or whatever it happens to be. Just reminded me of an episode of Friends that we watched recently. If that isn't there, then maybe there's something wrong, you know, when that kind of fades away, you know, maybe that isn't the right person. And it's like we have this internalized image of how things should be, as if it's some sort of static thing, that it's always going to be like that. And if it isn't, there's something wrong with the relationship rather than something about you that might be changed. And so I think this ties in really well with growth and fixed mindset. So if you'd like to sort of talk about that.
Yeah, just a bit about growth and fixed mindset. So this idea was developed by Carol Dweck, who is a Stanford psychologist. And she came up with this idea, observing children in particular, about how they respond to different situations. She just noticed that some children seem to find it a lot easier to deal with setbacks. So if something went wrong, there was a group of children who were really frustrated and they gave up. They didn't go back to the same task again. Whereas another group of children seemed to pick themselves up quite easily and kind of do the same task again without much without many problems. So Dweck formulated this idea of a fixed mindset, which is the idea that, for example, that you either have a particular quality or you haven't got it. And if you haven't got it, you might as well give up. So, for example, the idea that you're either intelligent enough or you're not. So if you're not clever enough, you might as well leave it. Or if you can't do a task, ergo, you're not clever enough. So it's this idea that that somehow particular qualities are innate, they're genetic, you're born with them. Yeah, they're either there or they're not.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I studied psychology, there was a lot of this around the area of IQ. So intelligence quotient, which... Yes. When I was at school, sometimes they'd give intelligence tests, which somehow they did when I was at school, whether they do or not now. I think some organisations, I might be wrong about this, but like Mensa will use some similar types of tests to measure what might be supposedly some sort of innate intelligence. There's even some, there was a letter G, I think it was, which was used to kind of denote this internal sort of innate intelligence.
Yeah.
Now, the question is this really true or is this something that's developed? And, you know, in my experience as well, a lot of my schooling was sort of geared around, you know, some people are smart, some people aren't so smart.
Exactly, the clever kids, right? In the class, or the not so clever ones.
Yeah, and if you weren't in that sort of clever group, then basically you'd feel different. It would have a big impact on your self-esteem. And you know, I experienced some things I was good at, some things that I wasn't.
Absolutely.
And you'd really feel how when you didn't do so well in tests, it would be kind of made out as if it's something to do with you.
Yeah.
But one of my most powerful experiences was... well, actually, after I left school, and I'd really wanted to get into acting, actually, and I went to a drama college, and I was kind of quite average, and basically, suddenly, this teacher came along and explained things to me in a way that really made sense to me. And suddenly, from being fairly average, I found that, you know, people were giving feedback that I was suddenly one of the better ones in that school. And that was purely because things were taught to me in a way that made sense to me. I suddenly could relate to something. Previously, I thought, well, I'm just not good at this. Because I wasn't born with that talent. But actually, suddenly for me, having that right teacher made such a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it's this idea of, you know, that this very often gets this messaging that we pick up at school in particular in the past, that you're either clever, you're not clever, as you say, you know, either you can do it or not, either you're a good actor or you're not, yeah. That's very much the idea of a fixed mindset, whereas the other mindset that Dweck talks about is the growth mindset. So the idea is that you might not be good enough at acting yet, and the term yet is really important, yeah? So it's something that you can... The idea is that you can acquire skills. You might not have them yet, but because you apply your time and practice to it, you get better at it over time, and you can basically acquire all of these skills. So it's not a... So the idea of having a particular ability is not something, or having intelligence is not something that is innate, but it's something that's acquired with persistence, etc. And also, if you have a setback, then, you know, you just kind of start again. You think, oh, well, that's a learning opportunity. If somebody tells you, well, your acting could really improve, or, you know, you can do this better, I mean, you can do this differently, or you can work on this, then you can develop your skill over time and get more accomplished at it.
Yeah.
And there's another point. Sorry, but you go on. Go on first.
Well, I think starting to that, one thing I also think, it's not just about being able to acquire skills. It's not just about yet.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we already have them, but haven't found a way of understanding, a way to organise them in our minds so we're able to express them fully. So I think sometimes it's not even about acquiring. It's about we haven't got a way of structuring it because we haven't been given a framework that fits into it.
Absolutely.
And when a teacher can kind of explain it in the right way, suddenly the things we already know make sense. And we realise actually that we can do these things.
Yeah. That's a really good point as well. But yeah, just to come back, before I forget it, because this is a really important point about the mindset that Dweck makes, what really matters, particularly the idea of fixed and growth mindsets has been particularly applied within educational settings. And here in the UK, at primary schools now, if you talk to primary school teachers, they will all know about Dweck and apply it in the classroom. What's really important is how you enforce or how you respond to children's learning, for example. So the point that Dweck makes is that it's not a good idea to tell your child, for example, that they are clever, Yeah, that they're intelligent, that you don't praise something that could, for the child, could communicate that they either are or they aren't clever, so to speak. So you don't praise for a particular quality, you praise for the application, you praise the child for trying, basically, for working hard, for, you know, giving it a good go, for practicing, etc. That's the praise. So you praise the process and not the outcome, so to speak. And that's really, really significant in educational terms. But that's also, of course, significant in terms of the topic that we're talking about today. So why does it matter? Fixed or growth mindset? Let's come back to that. So what does it mean when I have a fixed mindset in a relationship?
Yeah, so I think, like we were talking about earlier, to me, when we were talking about this, it's very much like, and usually when we start a relationship, it does have that sort of, you know, heightened feeling of romance, heightened feeling of, you know, everything's great and wonderful. And I think the fixed mindset very much thinks that that's the way a relationship has to be. And if it's not, something's wrong.
That's
something's,
the Hollywood idea. Hollywood idea absolutely promotes that fixed mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's like that should last forever.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then, you know, something's not right. Mm-hmm. Whereas the growth mindset would say, well, the realization that we may start like that, but there will be times when that initial feeling fades off. Like we talked about in the earlier episodes on the stages of a relationship, that we do go through stages that initially you've got these rose-coloured glasses or rose-coloured lenses and everything seems wonderful, but then things do change, and the love, the feeling of the love may change in its experience, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the wrong person. It's just because this is how things change and transform. And I think the question is, what can you transform it into? What do you do with that? How do you work together in a relationship? And actually build something that can be even more wonderful than what you started with, although it can be different. So it can grow into something else. And with all growth as well comes different stages of plateaus, of sometimes things going up, sometimes down a little bit. But working through that leads to something that, that is much greater as a whole.
Yes, and I think this model also makes you a more active participant in the process, doesn't it? It's this idea that you don't just sit back there and you receive love that's either there or not, but you, that you actually can contribute and shape a relationship. You can contribute and shape the love that you want to have with your partner. So it's something that you can kind of... that you can be a lot more involved in. Because I think the other, the idea of this sort of instant love on tap, so to speak, is it's quite passive, isn't it?
Yeah.
You kind of just sit back there and it's either, you know, it's either coming your way or it's not, or you're either sending it over the other way or not. It's sort of very monolithic and very static, that model of relationship, I think.
Yeah, and it doesn't involve, it doesn't involve actual, like you said, it doesn't involve the energy you've put into it. It doesn't involve your personal commitment. Like you said, it's just, it's fairly passive. And that's, in some ways, is easy. And I think, again, maybe in society today, we're used to things being easy, whether it's, you know, ordering food when you want it, you know, have it fast, have it ready, whatever you want. It takes out the effort that's involved. And some people think, well, you know, maybe life's better with less effort. But I think if you think about things in your life that are really worthwhile, think about, did you have to put effort in for those things? And really the things that tend to give us the most value in life, that tend to give us the best feeling about ourselves and about life in general, are those things that actually involve more effort. When you put the effort in, you can feel a much greater sense of fulfillment, which has also been backed up by quite a lot of research on this.
Yeah, and also I think there's another element here that's interesting, because I'm sort of coming back to the point that Dweck made about education and that you should praise for effort. I think actually there's also something in it here in terms of praising your partner for effort rather than telling your partner they are already good enough in this or that particular area. It's also acknowledging that that your partner might be doing something that you're less than impressed with at this point in time. Like, for example, their domestic skills might leave something to be desired for, but that you're actually kind of, you give them the benefit of the doubt. You kind of also let your partner know when they're actually doing something well. So you kind of work on the assumption that this is a work in progress, so to speak. This, your partner is not quite as domestically perfect yet as you would like them to be.
I think you need to put this carefully to your partner as well, because I'm imagining sort of, well, you know, nice effort to do something that's actually useful for once in the house. You know, keep trying, and maybe, you know, or, you know, you buy your partner some flowers, sort of, you know, well, you did well trying to get me something that I liked, but, yeah, you know, think more about diamond rings. And, so it's kind of how you do it. And sure, there was a show that I saw years ago on the BBC, which was called How to House Train Your Husband.
Oh, yeah.
And this was such a funny show. It was where some people, married couples, the wife was taken to dog training school and taught dog training methods to positively reward kind of efforts. And so then they applied these to their husbands, who knew nothing about what was going on. They were told it was something completely different. And they'd just praise effort from their husbands, which previously hadn't done.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, because at the end of a few weeks, their husbands were doing all of these chores at home and feeling really good about it. And
yes,
and they hadn't even realised what had happened.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so I know. I think there's something in it.
Yeah.
And actually, yeah, I mean, just to be really fair here, it's not always the poor husbands who are messy. It can be the other way around as well, but it could be either partner. But there is something in this sort of idea that you have some, rather than just saying, oh, he or she is hopeless at that, I might as well give up, I might as well not try to have any more discussions about who takes the rubbish out, for example, theme the we've talked about before. That's very different from sort of saying, okay, well, let's pick this up again, and let's have another discussion about it, and letting the partner know when they've done something right, or something that was really pleasing to you, or something that you experienced as particularly loving, for example.
Yeah, and also doing this in a way that is really showing kind of love and caring, I think, is important.
Sure.
Not using it just as a way of manipulation.
Sure.
Because this is what I also see, you know, you could see that, oh, well, if I do this, then I can get my partner to do more things for me.
Sure.
It's also about thinking what you can do for them.
Mm.
So it's not just about in terms of praising the other person, but thinking, what effort can I put in? What can I do in this relationship?
Mm.
And that's why, you know, in our course, The Relationship Maze, we start with knowing yourself. Because I think some of what we've talked about is maybe geared around like the other person and kind of rewarding the effort. But I think it's really important to understand what do you currently do in your relationship to make it better? What do you currently do to improve it? And what can you do? Because again, I've heard people say, well, you know, I've tried everything. There's nothing I can do.
Sure.
And it seems to be very much in this sort of what you could call victim mentality or sort of in a Cartman drama triangle.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's hopeless. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
But it's about trying to find, you know, what can you do? How can you feel more empowered to have some change in that relationship? What can you do, and how can you encourage your partner with the right sort of reinforcement, maybe?
Absolutely. I mean, it's always, of course, it always goes back to your own contribution to the relationship, to anything, really, of course.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think it's just sort of highlighting the difference between these different mindsets. I mean, mindsets are kind of just meaning systems. It's kind of a way that you structure your thinking about the world. They're two at two extreme ends here, the fixed and the growth mindset. And of course, a lot of the time we are somewhere in the middle, or we might have a growth mindset in one particular area. We might, for example, when it comes to practicing guitar playing, I might be very persistent with that. And I might just completely give up with cooking and say, I'm not a good enough cook and don't even try that. The point is really, the point that we're trying to make, and the point that Dweck is making with these mindsets, is that there's, if you're in this fixed mindset, if that's your attitude towards the relationship, it's not the potential of the relationship is not particularly great, is it? If you just sort of have this kind of mindset of it's either good enough or not, or it's either perfect or it's not, or it's either the right partner or he or she is not, you're going to struggle with a relationship. It's not going to take you very far.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very much sort of all or nothing thinking.
Yeah.
And how is, and something we were going to talk about today, but I think actually let's do this in another podcast, is how this ties in with attachment styles. Mm. Because let's just talk a little bit about as well how this applies if you're single.
Mm.
So I think this very much applies where, you know, and when we talk about this in the next podcast, to me this might tie in with avoidance styles, where you're looking for something to be that perfect relationship from the start.
Yeah.
So you may get into a relationship, it seems great for a few months or a few weeks, then suddenly you think, you start to see things wrong with the other person, or feel it isn't right, so you think, okay, let's move on to the next one.
Yes.
And it's why, you know, some people I've seen in relationships, different relationships constantly for years and years and never really happy or fulfilled.
Mm.
And ultimately, I've seen people end up alone and quite unhappy because they haven't worked at something that could have been developed into a great relationship by putting in that sort of growth mindset mentality.
Absolutely.
And developing something.
Yeah, I think it definitely, I think for me there's also a link here between avoidance, being having an avoidant dismissive attachment style, and being and having a fixed mindset. It's this idea of perfectionism as well, isn't it? That that everything has got to be just right. And if it's not right, if it's not the one, and I really hate this idea of the one, if it's not the one ideal person, then you might as well write off the whole thing.
Yeah, you need to have at least the two.
Yes, or the ten, or however many there are. I mean, who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, and so, and I think going into this more in the next podcast will be really interesting with attachment styles and how that ties with growth fixed mindsets. But what I thought, unless there's more you'd like to say in this now, is some things that maybe you can do to help you kind of develop this sort of growth mindsets in relationships so you can have happier and more fulfilling relationships. And one of the first things I think might be useful is right now, after this podcast, get out a journal, get out a piece of paper and write down what in your relationship do you think is unchangeable? What hasn't been working, and do you think maybe a sign that maybe this relationship isn't the right relationship?
Yeah, that could be an interesting list. And then it might also be, I think conversely, on the other side of the paper, it might be quite helpful to write down how would you like your relationship to be? So what really matters in a relationship to you? What do you imagine you'd like to be doing with your partner, for example? So you might be writing down something like, oh, we like to go dancing together, we're having a lot of fun together, something like that.
Yeah. And then when you start to think about those, thinking about the next stage would be, what do you do? What effort do you put into your relationship on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you currently doing towards those things that you want, rather than those things that you feel are stuck? And then writing, okay, well, what could I do? What small actions could you take, maybe on a daily basis, that could even begin to move you to those things? So think about, what are you doing? Not just what is your partner, what aren't they doing? Because that becomes too easy to think, well, yeah, but my partner should make more of an effort. And I see this a lot, where people start to resent the partner because they feel that they're doing more. And sometimes there is this imbalance. And that does need to be addressed.
Sure.
But I think one of the big challenges is when we get into that mindset of, I do more than them, and that's not fair. And that builds resentment. And I think when we really love somebody, it's about learning, and we talked about this in another podcast, is about giving without necessarily the expectation of receiving. So we're not giving to receive. And of course, if it's totally one-sided, then that isn't right and it needs to be addressed. But sometimes, because of our own past, we have this mentality that we have to give, 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 and end up doing that and resenting the other person. And that's sometimes more of the things, our story, that we take into the current relationship.
But there is something here about, this whole point of what can I do to contribute to making this, to developing this, to making this relationship grow into the kind of relationship that I want to have. What is my contribution to it? So back to what Tom said earlier on about your responsibility. What is it? Take yourself as a starting point. What's my contribution? And then, of course, it's always helpful to also sit down and to have this discussion as a couple. What can we both do? What is our joint contribution to making this relationship that we wanted to be. And I'd be very surprised, I'm always surprised actually, how many people, I think the majority of people never have these discussions with their partner about what they want together. They might have some rough notions about, well, we might at some point, we might want to go on holidays, or we like going to the cinema, or we listen to the same music, something like that. But to actually sort of really have a more in-depth discussion about what kind of relationship do we want? How do we want to shape it? What really matters to me? How can we, work at this? That doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, absolutely. And sometimes people, I think, are fearful of expressing it.
Yeah.
And again, it's sometimes that anxiety of expressing something and wondering if that would be received okay, that leads you to build this sort of growing sort of feeling like it's not right. But actually, expressing that is the first stage in actually developing the thing that you want.
Mm.
And again, like you said, that stage of both writing down the things about, what you want, what steps you can take towards getting that, and then together writing down what can we do together, I think is so important. And very frequently you find that actually your partner may want something very similar, but it's never been expressed.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people who want very similar things end up drifting apart because they don't explore this together.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to explore it together and see you can move towards this together, it can really help to bring that closeness in a relationship that actually ultimately is part of that growing, where you can develop a much closer and fulfilling relationship, which just through discussing that helps you to achieve it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you can, of course, also as a separate exercise, maybe look at the kind of obstacles that get in the way. What is it that is getting in the way here of you getting to these goals, these ultimates, or not even ultimate, they don't have to be big goals, What is getting in the way of you doing the things that you want to do together, or having the kind of relationship that you want to have? What are the obstacles? And what is it that you can jointly do to kind of remove these obstacles out of the way? Sometimes that's a more complex discussion, admittedly. But it's also interesting to just sort of have a sense of, why is this so difficult for us? Or what is it that is always getting in the way here for us? And thinking a little bit about what kind of solutions can be found.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, I think some of those challenges are actually smaller than you'd think they would be. But when you express them, they're things that you can overcome. They're things that you can start to find a way through.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, I think we've covered quite a lot today. And I think in the next podcast, we're going to explore about how the growth and fixed mindsets tie in with attachment styles. So we're going to have a discussion about that.
Yeah, we've talked about attachment styles a long time ago. Actually, I haven't picked this up for a while, attachment styles. I think one of our earliest podcasts, if you want to listen to that, is about attachment styles, for those of you who are not familiar with the term. And understanding attachment styles is one of the most useful ways of understanding your own interaction in relationships and how you connect with other people.
Yeah. So if you like this podcast, please write us a review and press subscribe right now so you can tune into every episode. And if you'd like to find out more about our podcast, head over to therelationshipmazepodcast.com. We also have our online course at therelationshipmaze.com, and we also have free resources there.
Mm-hmm.
Please tune into the next episode and share this podcast with your friends.
Take good care, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you'd like to find out more about creating great relationships, go to therelationshipmaze.com, and I look forward to seeing you there. And remember to tune in to the next podcast.